From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from The Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I hate to start an interview like that, but I don't know why I did that. It's Dr. Forrest Tennant, and I'm sorry about that. The strange medical saga of John F. Kennedy, and I have no explanation why I said William, so I won't even pretend to know why that came out of my mouth. I've been reading the book, loved the book, almost finished the book, and so I'm so grateful that you came on Coast to Coast to talk about the strange medical saga of John F. Kennedy.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good, quite well.
Okay, great.
I heard your introduction, and it was quite good and quite accurate. I'm not sure what I could add to it.
Well, I know what you're going to add to it, because I got a million questions. I dog-eared this book more than I dog-ear most. So we know, I'll go over you certainly have plenty of bona fides, and you are an established authority on pain. And so it's interesting that even so much of what we don't know about John F. Kennedy was the real timeline of his pain, that it starts really almost, this was news to me. So, I guess I read bios and they didn't drill down this deep, but born in 1917, and almost from the very beginning, the point you make is that that John F. Kennedy was born into a life of physical pain.
Yes, yes. He exactly why he ever survived infancy and childhood is a miracle. I mean, cats with 9 lives have nothing on John F. Kennedy.
No.
One of the things that as you study his case, how and why he managed to live is just some sort of a miracle. And I came to believe that his charm, his personality, his vigor to live and to provide really excellent leadership probably came from his experiences in just overcoming death one time after another.
Well, and I'm going to amplify something, a point that you imply and sort of, you kind of connect him, but I'm going to sharpen it even further and say, had he not been born into a family of wealth, he would have died in infancy. He would have died before he was 2 years old, probably. But the family had so much money and were able to provide the best care, the best doctors, that he didn't have to die. He's living proof of that, but it is a kind of medical miracle that he didn't.
Well, it really is, and you know, I've written about two other men who I've written the medical saga of Howard Hughes and Elvis Presley, and you know, if they had not had access to wealth, let's be honest about it, to find the very best doctors and hire the very best doctors who were willing to innovate, none of those people would have lived very long. And John F. Kennedy, there's no two ways about it. They had enough money to find the very best doctors there at Harvard and around the country, which they did. And, you know, there's no question in my mind that if he had been born into a normal family of normal financial means, I don't think he would have made it.
No,
because he was able to, right from the start, like he survived scarlet fever in those days, and all his infections in childhood required. I mean, you know, he spent half his time at with doctors. I'm not talking about nurses, but the very best doctors. So that had a factor in helping him survive.
And there's a difference, and, you know, please explain, but there's a difference between hospitals and clinics very often. And clinics is where, I mean, that's the expensive care, that's the one-on-one care that you allude to, and that's what he got from a very early age, as opposed to he's a sickly kid, he went to the hospital.
Yes, and he also, his doctors made house calls also.
Oh, right.
And so he had access to an outpatient clinic as well as going into the hospital at any time. You know that his number of hospitalizations are not even countable. I mean,
right.
They go up into the dozens, and I tried to quantitate the number of hospitalizations, but I couldn't quite do that because sometimes he'd go into the hospital for a day. Another thing, in those years, which is totally gone today in medicine, doctors would admit people to a hospital just to do diagnostic workups. When I was a very young doctor, just graduated, that was common. I remember personally putting people in the hospital just to do glucose tolerance tests or x-rays, and so that was common in those days. Today, it's far too expensive to do that, and of course, our technology is so much better that you don't need to go into the hospital. But again, he had excellent care by his physicians and also a mother who was obviously quite a
right.
great nurse.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. And a force of nature. I mean, she was doing everything that she could. Again, we're talking about the perfect description, the strange medical saga of John F. Kennedy. And thank you, Forrest Tennant, again for being on. We'll get to questions for you later on, but let's do this. If you could list the things that John F. Kennedy, as a baby Jack, suffered between birth and two. Because that's how I really like how you broke up the book in terms of infancy, childhood, teenage years, young adult, all of that. So what can you name all of his afflictions during his infancy?
Right. That's quite easy to do because they were all infections. I think I have a chapter there I decided to call it No Infection Left Behind.
Right.
He had all the usual childhood illnesses, measles, mumps, but he also had whooping cough, which in those years often took your life.
Exactly.
And also he developed scarlet fever. That was the one that his survival was unusual, because scarlet fever was a streptococcus bacteria. And it's hardly known today, but it caused both rheumatic fever or scarlet fever and rheumatic heart disease, and it also caused later kidney failure, any one of those. And he managed to survive scarlet fever. And what's amazing about it is that, see, there were no antibiotics in those days. So exactly what the doctors did is a mystery. If one starts to study medical practice prior to World War II, do you know it's almost hard to find out what in the world the doctors did do?
Right.
Very little is recorded, surprisingly. But whatever they did do, he did make scarlet fever. He was near death, and that was the big one during his infancy. How he managed to survive scarlet fever, and that thousands and thousands of babies died of scarlet fever or rheumatic fever in those days. And just a little sidebar on that, the whole concept of autoimmunity, meaning you developed a disease later on, and today you hear about that with COVID all the time, was really initially discovered following scarlet fever and rheumatic fever. You got a sore throat, you had a streptococcus infection, and then later on the streptococcal infection turned into developed antibodies or autoimmune toxic substances in the body that caused kidney disease and heart disease and death. So he managed to survive that. He was never given last rites for it or anything. He got that later. But we can summarize his whole problem in infancy and childhood as he was born without the normal resistance of the body to infections.
And also, I think it starts in infancy, right? I have to go back and look at my notes, but where right away there was a nourishment problem.
Yes. This is the other thing that... frankly, until I really got into studying his records and everything, and it was one of the things that the family didn't like to talk about it. John F. Kennedy didn't like to talk about it. But he was born with this autoimmune problem. Now, let me define autoimmunity real simple for the audience, because people hear that term, but they're not certain what
right.
It means. Autoimmunity, immunity means you're resistant to something. You're resistant to organisms, bacteria, toxins, poisons. So you would think that autoimmunity means it's automatic immunity.
Right.
It doesn't mean
right.
that at all. What it means is that you've got a destructive element in the body that is slowly attacking and eating away and eroding collagen in tissues. Now, that destructive substance can be a toxin, a enzyme, an infectious agent, a poison, or it can be an antibody. And so John F. Kennedy, from birth, had some toxic element in his body. We think it was an antibody, but nobody knows. But he had a toxic element in his body from birth that started eating away some of his tissues. And the one that caused him the most problem during his lifetime was an attack on his intestine. And he started in childhood developing all kinds of bowel and intestinal problems. He'd have alternating constipation one day, then diarrhea, he'd have bloating, he'd have pain, indigestion. And he actually carried his intestinal problems until death. In other words, from year one to year 46, he had this intestinal problems. Now, today we would probably call that celiac disease. It was not, that name was not applied at that time, as doctors right. called it duodenitis or just colitis. But that began in his during childhood. So he had to fight the paddle of the bathroom literally right. his entire life.
And then it also irritable bowel syndrome. Some people, yes. would that overlap with that?
Yeah, so, those very symptoms would be part of it. In other words, it would be called a mega irritable bowel. How about that?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's fair. Again, we're talking about the strange medical saga of John F. Kennedy, and we're not even out of his infancy yet with Dr. Forrest Tennant. So here's how I understand autoimmune. This is how it's always been explained to me, is that auto meaning self and immune in this case meaning you're not even immune to yourself and that
that's
you're
good,
attacking.
Good way of thinking about it. That's an excellent description.
Right. And so we are, that's how people who are autoimmune, their first line of defense is actually the first line of offense to their
that's
body.
Right. Yeah. You got it. Yep.
Okay. So that's, that in itself, again, were it not for the financial resources, for the experimental treatments, that in itself could have killed John F. Kennedy as a baby, but he survives past the 2-year mark of infancy into childhood. And at some point, then we get into this whole adrenal gland thing. Can you explain that, going into the next phase of his health problems?
Yes. We mentioned autoimmunity, and incidentally, one of the reasons why I wrote this book is that from what I can tell, this whole concept of autoimmunity may be the plague of all us humans in this century. I can't think of anything that's a bigger public health or issue, and COVID is only making people realize this. They're calling it long COVID and trying to apply other names, but what it really is post-viral autoimmunity, meaning that you've got destructive elements in your body eating away at some of your tissues.
Okay.
And so his, the endocrinologist, years after Kennedy's birth, described a condition in which autoimmunity or destructive elements from birth started destroying glands. And Kennedy's, the big target of his autoimmune glandular disease was his adrenal glands, but he also had his thyroid attacked and his testicles attacked in later life. And so people who have this rare condition will have their pancreas attacked. That gives you the diabetes. Thyroid will be attacked. Your testicles or ovary can be attacked, and certainly the adrenal glands can be attacked. What it looks like historically is that his adrenal glands probably were attacked and would deteriorate, and then it'd probably regrow and then deteriorate. And so it was kind of a up and down thing over a period of years until he was finally diagnosed with Addison's disease. When he was right after World War II, when he was right about 30 years of age. So between birth and age 30, his adrenal glands slowly started to fail.
Okay. Explain the role of adrenal glands in the human
yes.
body.
Adrenal glands, first off, they were adrenal glands, you have two of them. They're so valuable to the body that the good Lord gives us two of them, one sitting on top of each kidney. And they used to be called suprarenal glands, meaning on top of the kidney, but just for short, they call them adrenal glands. And in 1855, a pathologist in Britain by the name of Thomas Addison discovered that some people had their adrenal glands that were eaten away, and they died.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.